Welcome to Counterpressed on The Ringer and Spotify. I'm in the studio with Becky Taylor-Gill. And look who has come back. Wow. Kate Longhurst. She's back in the room. Yeah.
It's been decades.
It's actually been ages.
It has, really.
And I feel like we say that every
God,
time.
God, you don't take this job seriously.
Last week we had someone messaged asking why we weren't getting you on after you scored that screamer of a goal.
Oh my God, so good. First touch.
One touch wonder. There was no keeper in the goal, was there?
So. Yeah, still. You still got to get on target.
Was it one touch?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you took a touch and then... No.
Never.
God, she's that good.
She'd rather die than take a touch.
Wow, same again.
Yeah, all about the one touch finish.
Is that your best one of the season? Yeah.
Well, I've only scored two, Flo.
No, but what was the one where you fell to the ground and you had the knee slide that didn't work?
Oh, that wasn't me. That's someone scored a penalty and you did it. I was just taking,
knee slide on a penalty.
Me and my housemate, oh my God, ex-housemate, sad, recently watched...
That sounds like you broke up.
It feels like it. We recently watched a compilation of failed knee slides.
I thought you were a compilation of Kate Longhurst goals, 2 minutes long.
Is that long?
Yeah, 30 seconds long.
No, failed knee slides. It was really funny.
Kate, though, this person asked why we weren't getting you on after that absolute screamer. And I just had to reply saying, it's because she's in training.
Talk to
Karen Hills about it. Don't come complain to us. We would have you on every week if you're too busy.
I was going to come in, but it was Easter Monday, wasn't it?
And yeah, we had to move it.
Mm.
Yeah.
So you missed out. So
blame the bank holiday gods. But things have gone off the ball a little bit in Charlton's title race.
Mm.
Few drop points.
We still believe.
It's since we sort of planned the whole bus tour around IKEA.
I'm still going on it.
Yeah, the bus is still booked.
Yeah, of course the bus is booked.
Yeah, we might need a little bit of luck.
Since the planning application went into Greenwich Council, that's when it's all gone a bit Pete Tong.
Yeah, I think I was the one sort of saying, you know, there's a long way to go, but
we weren't listening.
Were blinded.
Okay, guys.
No, you're only 4 points back.
With a game in hand, so you're only 1 point back.
Yeah, but Palace also have a game in hand.
There's a lot of games in hand.
I see that.
And they're 3 points above us with better goal difference. Technically, it's fine.
Palace will lose one. Sunderland will lose one.
But it's tight. It's really tight up there. And, you know, one team's got to go up. So it's going to be interesting to see who it might be. And it's a revenge game this weekend because you're playing Watford, who we came to watch you lose to in that chaotic game that you got hooked at half-time in.
Thanks for the reminder.
So it's a Kate Longhurst avenge game.
Oh, that feeling of the team coming back out at half-time and us being like,
Where's Kate?
Where is she?
She's not coming back out.
And a walk of shame back to the bench. But they nearly pulled off a remarkable comeback in that game.
I know. At that point in the season... I think that was only our third game. We hadn't won a game,
it was early on,
We didn't win until our fourth game of the season. So if we hadn't had such a bad start, who knows?
Who knows?
That London City game.
What if?
Oh, no.
What was going on?
Yeah. Well, I was asking the same question.
But it's a chance for you to redeem yourself in this game.
Personally.
And
yeah, we'll see.
Put the pressure on because you're playing your game in hand game. So this is the chance, Kate.
Yeah. I mean, all we can do is win. And see where it takes us. I think Palace are playing as well Sunday.
They're playing Birmingham, so
yeah,
you know, not an easy game.
We kind of need Birmingham to do us a favour, but it's a lot of ifs and buts and whatever, and we just need to concentrate on ourselves. I think before we've kind of like looked at, oh, they've got these and they could drop points here, and then we haven't picked up the points that we need to pick up. So there's no point looking at other teams. I think it's just make sure we get 3 points and then...
Okay, you focus on yourself. We'll keep
you
looking at the other teams.
Yeah.
And it said like in a very diplomatic, media-trained football answer, just got to focus on ourselves, take every game it comes.
I'm media-trained.
Yeah, you
give us something real, Kate.
For God's sake. This is the same woman that told us about her shitting herself in the FA Cup final. So how are you giving us these answers, you know?
When I also have had no media training, just to let you know.
When it's football-based.
Yeah, when it's football-based, you just go straight to the serious stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we will be talking a little bit about that, actually. We'll be returning to the scene of the crime of Kate's unfortunate accident.
Scene of the crime? The actual toilet?
Let's do a live pod from the toilet.
Bristol City's toilet.
We're going to talk about that and we're going to talk about England, Ireland, Euro qualifiers, but mainly talk about Rachel Daly, who announced that she is retiring from international football in a bit of a shock announcement on social media. Also talk about Becky getting cancelled because of her tweets about the She Believes Cup. And yeah, talk FA Cup because the semi-finals this weekend. So let's get into it after this. Okay, so not another classic in Euro qualifying games for England. It was a bit of a dull one
that
in
was
Dublin,
a snoring noise,
but at least they got a win, which they desperately needed to sort of, you know, actually really kickstart the campaign for Euro qualification, which we hope won't be as nerve wracking as it potentially could be. Alyssa Russo header getting England off to a good start. Alex Greenwood penalty, and then Alex Greenwood miss penalty hit the post. But yeah, it was a bit of a weird game, and another one where we saw lots of changes, a bit of a switch with Lauren James starting on the right rather than the left. But you know, the old switcheroo as per, and some good moments from England. Some slightly hairy moments from set pieces, which I think we maybe expected, especially with Megan Campbell's giant throw when she came
on. It's crazy.
It took social media by storm, and we have seen it before with what she's been able to do with it in the WSL in the past. But it truly is a thing of glory. And I think a lot of people were just loving, there are a couple of clips, but there's one, I saw one tweet, which was like, you think you know how far she's going to throw it, but believe me, it's going to be so much further.
Is it the running? Because she takes quite a long run into it.
I think it's just huge power.
It's just her arms going
How do you like, does she practice? Is she like hypermobile in the shoulders?
I actually do think that is the case. That's what people have said.
Well, you would practice it. That's one. You can't just...
defended them quite a few times, and honestly, I'd rather defend a corner. I'm not joking, like the angle of it. Like from a corner, you sort of know the trajectory of it, whereas it sometimes goes and then it carries on going, or it'll dip at the last second and you think, okay, I'm here, I'm going to win the ball here. And then all of a sudden it's like over your head.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
I once took four foul throws in an 11-a-side match. So
foul throws.
Yep.
Well, I respect that ref.
Don't look at me like that.
Yeah, but I'm not being funny. Four.
Yeah, I think the ref was being ridiculously harsh.
No, I will say,
I think after the first one, I just got so in my head, and then I couldn't do it. So,
to be honest,
I was like, "What's going on?"
Most football matches, I think I see about four foul throws, but they're rarely given. So, respect to that ref for actually sticking to the rules.
Oh,
of the
come
game.
On! It's clap them 11 aside, ref. Give
Sorry,
it a rest.
Foul throw.
Yeah, if
foul
I was
throw.
Your teammate, I'd be like, "Get off the throw."
Yeah, well, that's after the fourth one.
Or
I was
just
like,
pick up the ball and kick it.
I'm not doing it.
Why were they still letting you do it?
Honestly, I think the fourth one, I was like, I think I did three foul throws. And then I did a good one and I was like, okay.
So they were like, she's back.
I wouldn't have given
And then I did a fourth
chances.
One and I was like, no, just, I'm what not
was,
doing them.
What was the foul element? You weren't putting your arms further back
I honestly
back
don't know. I went to the ref at halftime and I was like, am I doing wrong? Like, I don't.
And what did they say?
I can't remember. It was like beginning of the season.
Well, to be honest, I see a lot of ones where they don't put it far enough back behind their head and it's just like here, like at the shoulders throwing. Can't do it, all right? Listen to me, you can't do it. Anyway, back to a throw we haven't seen the likes of since peak Rory Delap era of Stoke City.
I saw a really funny tweet, which was Rory Delass.
Very good.
That is very good.
Very good. And yeah, that as expected, did kind of cause a little bit of chaos in the England box. And there was another corner that caused a bit of chaos as well. A bit of a scary moment as well, where Hannah Hampton kicked the ball into an on-rushing Katie McCabe. And it got a little bit scary at that point. England somehow kept a clean sheet. And Ireland are poor. They're not a good team. And they were obviously relying on those set pieces. Well, they're not.
Say what you really
they're
feel.
They're not. And they were relying on those set pieces. I think, for me, the main disappointment was I feel like England could have really kicked on in this game against a poor team and the worst team in the group. It's like, if you're going to really get your nice goal difference up and get a bit of confidence after not the best, you know, few months, I feel like this was a good opportunity. I don't know how you felt about it, Kate.
Yeah, I thought the first 20 minutes the game was over, really, and maybe England just took their foot off the gas a little bit because they almost felt like it was game over. I mean, the second penalty I thought was a bit harsh. I don't really think Quinn can do anything there.
She was fuming, and I can understand so because the way that her movement was, it's
she's gone to attack the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
She hasn't got the first touch, but then her arm's already in the air. So I thought that's a bit harsh, and I think it would have been a bit unfair for them to be 3-0 up. So it was nice of Alex Greenwood to kind of just help him out. Let him off there. Her first penalty was good, obviously. But yeah, I mean, with Ireland, until the last 20 minutes where it almost became a bit like, just get as many balls in the box as possible, play for set pieces. They didn't offer loads. But what I would say is that they actually could have come away with something, really, because they did have a couple of good chances. And England don't look the most stable at the moment from set pieces or in that game.
But I feel like this has been something that's followed them for years, even in the lows of lowest lows during the Phil Neville era. Set pieces were always such an issue for them, and they've never quite cleaned it up. And it's hard. Like, there are a lot of teams that struggle from set pieces. But I think I would expect England to be a bit better. And I think not having Millie Bright is a mm-hmm. huge miss. Leah Williamson's first start back with the armband as well. And I think probably leadership-wise...
The correct armband as well, not the stupid one, love one.
Yes, the best armband. And I think that leadership does make a difference. But I expect more from England set pieces, and I don't know when we're quite going to see that.
Yeah, we have people that attack the ball that aren't afraid to put their head in. So I don't know if it's like the setup, or I feel like we leave a lot of space at the back post all the time, not even just in set pieces. You look at the Sweden goal that was scored like at the back post. I think we look a little bit vulnerable.
That might be a Lucy Bronze issue.
I'm not here to comment, but I just think like that back post space at the moment from set pieces and from open play, we're always a little bit vulnerable. So maybe that's something we need to work on. But listen, if you're going to look vulnerable in a game where you're fairly comfortable, that's probably the time to learn from it and work on it. Whether they will, I don't know.
I think what you said for about like it feeling like a missed opportunity to just rack up those goals, like after 20 minutes we were texting each other like, God, this could get nasty. But also I think there was 8 players in that starting 11 who were either in the title race or in the Champions League semi-finals. So you can kind of understand why maybe those players were like, I'm not going to go in for every single tackle, every single ball as hard as I would normally when we're 2-0 up and we've like pretty much secured that 3 points and we're feeling safe.
I have a bone to pick though with the data gods, because no one is pushing out the data from these games anywhere. So Opta will be collecting it, but FB Ref, Google, all of the websites and apps, no one is putting this data out. So it's actually really impossible to follow these qualifiers. And it's driving me insane, because usually if you just Google a game, it will pull up the lineups and some data, or often just top line stuff. So for She Believes Cup and normal windows, you know, you would get that. For Euro qualifiers, actual real games that mean something, not even just glorified friendlies, it's nowhere to be seen. And it is driving me mad, because it's so hard to find the information. You have to go like via a BBC page or via the UEFA website, which is quite hard to navigate. And I'm like, where? Why is this not just simply Google bang there? It's bizarre. And that is my complaint, my counter-press complaint of the week. But as it stands, England are second in Group A3 behind France, who won both their games. But the real fun group is Group A1, Norway, Italy, Netherlands and Finland, all on 3 points.
Wow.
Really? And that's a quite open group. It's lots of fun.
It's impressive. It's fun.
I know. It was just wow.
Anyway, Becky.
I love football.
Becky, you were speaking about 8 of the starting 11 and the games that they're involved in. Someone who did not feature in the starting 11 but came on late is one Rachel Daly. And then what do we see 24 hours later? She posts on Twitter and Instagram announcing her retirement from international football. It kind of came out of nowhere, we have to say. It took pretty much everyone by surprise. And it was then revealed after that she told the team after the game. Yes, on Tuesday night. So how long it was in the works, we don't know. And Serena Wiegmann in a quote afterwards said, it's been a privilege to work with her. I've never worked with a player so versatile, always with a smile on her face, bringing energy and trying her best for the team. There's not been enough analysis for me on potentially the reasons why. There's been a lot of celebration of her England career, which has been fantastic. 84 games, 16 goals, played in every single position, Euros winner, a World Cup finalist, also went to the Olympics with Team GB. So, you know, that is important. But I think Michael Cox at the Athletic was the only one who sort of unpacked, hang on, this is a bit weird because she's 32. She is still currently the WSL Golden Boot holder. She's not going to have that this season. It's pretty much Bonnie Shaw's to unfortunately lose again, but I think Bonnie Shaw will finally do it this season. But it is weird that someone who only, you know, 8 months ago was a key part of England's run to the World Cup. And hey, Neve Charles has secured her spot as England left back now. But it feels like there's certainly still a place in the team for Rachel Daly. Serena Wiegmann doesn't seem to like her at nine. But the question really is, well, why? Because it's not like England are awash with options right there. Alessia Russo is the preferred number nine. That makes sense. We haven't seen her stick away as many goals as she probably needs to at Arsenal, but she still brings a lot. She has a lot to her game and she's elevated certain elements of it this season. But she has six WSL goals this season. Rachel Daly has seven. It's not been a great campaign for her this year with Aston Villa. It's not been a great Aston Villa campaign all round. But it is weird when you look down the list and you're like, Beth England, still not really recovered from her operation. She doesn't, you know, hasn't really made much of an impact since coming back. Aggie Beaver-Jones, too early to say about her in the nine for England. Ebony Salmon, she's behind Rachel Daly in the Villa pecking order and doesn't have enough goals to her game. And it's, you know, the people that get put in that position for under Serena Wiegmann are Lauren Hemp really is the next nine choice. And she's looked good when she has kind of played there, or maybe Lauren James in like a false nine situation. But I just don't, I think it's harsh to potentially rule someone out and see them say goodbye to international football because they're, looks like on the surface, not getting enough game time.
Oh, that's a lot to unpack. I think it's hard for her. As a player, I think the schedule for England has been relentless. So we don't know what toll that has had on Rachel herself as well. You know, it's summer after summer. I mean, it might be good for some of the players that actually they're not competing in the Olympics this year because everyone needs a break. At some point, it's going to come back on you and it's going to hit you. You don't recover as well as, you know, when you're 25, 26, when you start hitting 30, honestly, like I train every day and it's just like, oh, it's torture. It's like you're just in pain. You're just tired all the time. And she's probably got double the schedule that I have, you know, with the internationals as well. So I get a little break and she's continuously going. I think mentally that takes a lot. Physically, it takes a lot out of you. So
Do you think that toll would be different, though, if she was starting? Because well, that would probably drive you more.
That's the thing, though. You're doing all the travelling, you're doing all the training, you're doing all the commitment, you're having to work as hard as everyone else, and you're maybe not getting the minutes that you want from that. So she also might be thinking of, you know, how long she wants to play football, what's best for her in terms of longevity. Has she achieved everything that she's wanted to? Does she want to go out on a high rather than, you know, people are questioning Lucy Bronze now. I mean, what a brilliant player she's been for England and still is, but there's a lot of criticism of her. Do you want to go down that route of, okay, oh, her legs are going, she's not as good, she's, you know, and she's not playing in the position that maybe she wants to play when she does play. So I think there's a lot of things there. We don't know unless she ever comes out and says why, but I still think she has a lot to give. I think she has a lot to offer for England. Certainly gives a different dynamic to Alessia Russo. And also at fullback, I think she's, you know, during the Euro campaign, okay, apart from maybe the Spain game, she did really well in that position. And that's not her actual position that she's playing week in, week out. So I think you can look at it two ways of, okay, yeah, maybe she's just like, well, I'm not playing, so I don't want to. But I think you have to look at the bigger picture of this is a lot of commitment to give your best to be on the national stage other people having opinions. You're constantly giving absolutely everything. And actually, maybe she just wants to focus on club football, or she's thinking about having a social life, it's really important to try and get the balance right. And I think with a lot of the players in the England squad, that's probably a really hard balance to have. And I feel like from the outside looking in, a lot of them look like they're balancing it very well, but you don't know what sort of toll that has on them in terms of their general well-being of life. So I think, you know, we can only go off of what she's decided. And I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing sort of retiring when you're still doing a good job, rather than on the way down and people have a different perspective of you.
Mm. And Jen Beattie, when she retired from playing for Scotland, highlighted the travel and the missing family stuff as a key part of why she made the decision, because she probably would still be making Scotland squads, even though she hasn't been playing a ton of club football, even since she made the move to them in the Basel. But she specifically said, and I think she had started playing senior international football when she was like 16 or something, that the travel and the missing events and birthdays and everything, she was just kind of over it. Mm-hmm. And I do think that plays a factor. I mean, maybe Rachel Daly hadn't had as much involvement anyway, even through her England career. It felt like she was always a little bit stop-start. And Phil Neville, who sort of shifted her into this right-back role, maybe sort of opened a door for her to find a spot in the England team that wouldn't have been there for her at the peak of Ellen White's career, 100%. But I sometimes think also that versatility is a blessing and a curse when everyone knows, Rachel Daly can play tons of positions, but then it's like, oh, well, she's always going to be the floater rather than someone that you rely on for those key moments, which Serena Wiegmann hasn't quite ever thought she fitted that role. But the numbers are still the numbers. And even though it really has not been a good campaign for Aston Villa, you would still say it's better to have her as an option than nothing. So, I mean, I'm sure we will find out a little bit more on why, because her social media post was understandably so reflective of what has been a really fun few years for her. And Becky, no better time for us to plug our Rachel Daly one-on-one interview from last summer, where we chatted to her for about an hour about...
In a tiny, tiny room.
In a tiny room in Birmingham, about all that stuff, about her journey, about playing in the NWSL, about the Euros, and about fan culture. She was really good on the fan culture and atmosphere stuff.
See you down the pub,
See you
Rachel
down the
Daly.
Pub, Rachel Daly. Now she's not playing international
let's
duty.
Let's go rowdy.
We could actually go to that amazing pub in Birmingham
yeah, let's take her.
We should go. I can't remember what it was called. But I think what was really interesting, actually, that no one's really quite touched on either was Becky. Do you remember when she spoke about the fan pressure? And I think the fan pressure comes a lot with England. And Michael Cox mentioned in his piece, but like the commercial value and the media attention of being in England is huge. And I think she was saying since the Euros, it'd been quite difficult sometimes dealing with that high profile fan attention and when the boundaries are overstepped. And it sounded like she was really like, it's a lot now having to deal with that. So, you know, who knows how that takes its toll, right?
Yeah, I don't really think there's anything more that I can add to what Kate said. It's all like bigger picture, and that comes into it as well. And you just don't really know until she comes out and says exactly what it was, which I'm not sure she ever will. It's such a huge amalgamation of so many different things that I think that's difficult to explain. But it is a shame. Like, she's a great player and is still, yeah, like you said, even though Aston Villa haven't had a great season, she is still performing. She is still getting those goals within a bad season for them. So it is sad to say goodbye.
No more cowboy hats.
No more cowboy. Yeah, she's like, the cowboy hat is so iconic. She's changed the courses of our lives.
Becky
forever.
Has a cowboy hat tattoo.
I have a cowboy hat tattoo on my arm.
History will never be the same again.
And so, but I think you're right, Kate. I think it's good to go out on top. Like, I don't know if we would be, I think it's better to be like, oh, that's a shame that she's retiring, we could still use her, than being like, oh, thank God she's gone.
Totally. Go out on a high. So enjoy that extra time. And hey, Rachel Daly, if you ever want to do another interview, Counter Press is ready.
Down the pub.
We'll do it. All right, let's talk She Believes next. Okay, so...
Do you believe yet?
I think I do believe. I actually am starting to believe.
I think I believed and then I got torn apart on Twitter and now my belief is waning.
Okay, what's so wild about the tweet that Becky got cancelled for? It was
honestly, done so many worse tweets.
Becky has tweeted some stuff when I'm like, hun, delete this, log off. This was honestly the most, and I don't even say this in a jokey way, this was one of the most mild takes I have ever seen. And somehow, it's like one of those things where it all snowballs. If one person spots it and then they jump on the bandwagon. But honestly, I was looking, when you said, guys, I've tweeted something that's really rattled some USA fans, I thought, well, it's going to be something that is classic BTG wind-up material. This was actually just a really mild take of Alyssa Nair's penalty saves in the She Believes Cup final were not very good saves. The penalties were bad.
It's not even that I said they weren't good saves. Like, that's not even what I was saying. I was saying they're bad penalties.
They are.
And like, she's not, like, from this penalty shootout alone, everyone was acting like she was like the most amazing goalkeeper in the world. And everyone was being like, wow, she's a shootout hero. And I was like, guys, they were the worst penalties I've ever seen.
And I also enjoyed people using the England 2019 semi-final defeat as an example. And it's like, no, unfortunately, Steph Horton's penalty was also bad.
Also, babe, I'm over it.
But it's like, that was also a bad penalty. And I think actually women's football right now, we're having a bit of a penalty crisis where we're seeing a lot of bad. And I appreciate Alex Greenwood trying to mix things up in hers. And I think I have more respect for someone hitting the post than a simple save that's really easy for the goalkeeper, or Emily Sonnet's basically rugby conversion.
I cackled. It was 2:30 in the morning and I cackled so loud that I was like, oh shit, like, I have housemates, I need to be quiet.
So that's what's also quite funny, is like there are some bad penalties going around and we need to call it out more than pretending that goalkeepers are doing incredible ninja saves.
We all know that goalkeepers in women's football, there's a whole other conversation to be happening there. It's not them. It's terrible the penalties.
And hey, I have so much respect for Christy Mewis's penalty against Sweden. I don't think we'll see a better one-touch approach and having just been subbed on than that. But we also need to call out penalties when they're bad. And there were some really dodgy ones in this shootout.
What is so annoying about the whole thing is that I have been like, okay, maybe I'm being too much of a wind-up merchant. I do a serious podcast. You know, sometimes
she tries.
Don't take us down with you.
It's like you're on your own, hon.
Sometimes I think that because I take the piss so much, then sometimes my serious takes don't get taken seriously.
Oh, 100%.
Exactly.
I message you and I say, is this AI? Because it's like...
So I'm like, I need to maybe let go of the wind-up merchant inside me a little bit. Not completely.
Wow.
But Arsenal fans, for Arsenal and for USA, I've been like, okay, I'm actually going to like big up when they need to be big upped. You know, when they need to be celebrated.
Yeah, of course.
Don't look at me like that. I knew it sounded weird.
Big upped.
when they need to be celebrated, I'm going to celebrate them. Yeah. Like in the Conti Cup final, I tweeted, like, the Arsenal end was so vibey. It looked great. Like, they do a really good job of, like, making that fandom really, really fun and exciting. And that was what was annoying, is I was not even trying to be antagonising.
You were just playing it as you see it.
I was just saying, they were come on. I mean, like, Chloe Lacasse.
Chloe Lacasse, my girl Chloe Lacasse, that was one of the poorest penalties. That was a proper,
Anyone could save that.
Yeah. It was a daisy cutter. It was just like...
Everyone was like, I'd like to see you try. I fucking could.
Yeah, genuinely.
I'm telling you right now.
Genuinely. Hey, but you know whose penalty was elite? Adriana Leon.
Yeah.
No one performs as well. You played with her at West Ham.
She used to always go the other way, though, and then she missed a couple on that side. And now she started going the other side, I've realised.
Interesting. Good analysis.
And she always went to the left.
Wow.
And sometimes, like, scuff it in, but it would...
She's definitely found her better side.
Also, it's hard when you've taken a penalty in match, very recent, just before the penalty shootout, to then go and do it again.
Honestly, no one has form for their country like that girl. Mm. Like, she could not be playing any club football, but she will come out firing for Canada. And I got to respect it because we sort of spoke about how they're a bit of a dud team at times, but they've got lots of good individual players. I mean, Leon herself can be a bit streaky, but Ashley Lawrence, Jesse Fleming, like Canada's squad is good, but I feel like
I really thought they were going to do it again. The set piece,
yeah.
Get your goal back, win on penalties. It's a tried and tested method for them.
But it didn't.
But they just couldn't put it off.
Kadisha Buchanan hitting the header on the bar.
Yeah, that's like 89th.
Yeah, right at the end. They nearly. And, you know, I think it's funny because I think both teams come out of this little she believes moment with, like, we can't really talk a whole lot about how they look heading into the Olympic Games because it's sort of as you were. But for USA, I do think it's probably an important just breather because I think if they had lost this mini tournament, it would have maybe been a little bit panic stations, even with Emma Hayes coming in.
I'm not sure. I think like...
Not actual panic stations, but a little bit of like all bruised egos.
Yeah, I just think I had like anything before Emma Hayes like actually arrives is a bit of a write-off. You're like, we're in a bit of a transitional period, like got an interim manager, like a
anything
relatively
goes.
New squad, like after the mess of the World Cup.
I think it gives them a little bit of, I don't even know what word I was going to say then.
Making fun of me for sounding stupid.
I think it just gives them, like, it's a good way to sort of end and start a new chapter in terms of off the back of a win of a tournament, no matter how you win it.
I just don't think if they'd have lost it, it would have been...
It wouldn't have been the end of the world.
Yeah, I think they would have just been whatever.
Well, at the end of the day...
Also, it's only two games.
At the end of the day, it is just the she believes. Yeah. So it can't be...
What do you mean just?
Sorry. She
biggest
does believe
in the world.
I do believe.
We believe now. I think. Do you think it's like the absence of Arnold Clark Cup? We've just like latched onto the she believes and been
yes, because
like,
we need something.
I need something, and because of the new penalties rule going straight to penalties, I'm like, oh, you've given us some chaos.
Yeah.
So it's a good like replacement. I could never replace the Arnold Clark Cup.
Arnold, if you're listening. No, but the She Believes has always been funny just because of the name itself. And then obviously England played in it for a bit and that was fun. So I always think the She Believes does have a certain je ne sais quoi about it that leans into it. I think it's a fun tournament.
El ne sais quoi.
Very good French gag there.
Messy.
And, hey, you know who is just so good? Sophia Smith.
I mean,
that girl is elite. I know we've spoken about it before, but this is the thing about USA. I'm like, there's so many little lovely pieces of the puzzle. It's whether Emma Hayes can patch it all together because you can't deny
if she can do the puzzle.
There. Can she do the puzzle?
Can she?
Can she knit it all together?
Perfect opportunity.
Wow,
Becky.
Wow, thank you, Kate Loghurst.
Becky wants to talk about her new hobby.
Guys, I've decided to learn how to knit and I've never knitted before in my life. And yesterday I just started knitting and I can do it. It's crazy.
Did you start yesterday?
Yeah.
Oh.
Never knitted before. But basically I've been thinking for a while I want to knit because it's a helpful skill. Then you can knit, you can create things.
Can you sew? I feel like sewing is more useful.
I can embroider.
Can you sew?
And well, that is basically sewing, but in
a decorative
way.
But can you like fix a button?
Of course I can fix a button.
Oh, okay, great. I can't do that.
Okay, you're an idiot.
Can you sew a button on?
I think so.
Yeah, of course you can. Flo, of course you can
with
sew a button
with
on.
With a bit of YouTube, I could probably do it.
You don't need YouTube. You just sew it in the holes.
I was going to say, with a button, it's pretty standard.
Yeah, it's a self-explanatory.
But I want it to look good. You know, I want a nice finish on it.
Flo, I promise you can sew a button.
Okay.
No, but I was thinking yesterday it would be really cool if I could sew properly. But I only really hand sew. I need to learn how to use
a sewing
machine.
Oh, but that's next level.
Well, no. I think if you're going to like properly sew.
Can you make me an end of season dress for the awards?
Of course.
I'll
knit you one.
I would not want to see what that dress looks like. Wow. Okay. End of season open top bus outfit. Kate in longers and a full knitted Charlton
hat.
Yeah. Oh my God, I will. Yeah.
That would be cute, actually.
Guys, everyone is getting knitted items for Christmas. Like, don't worry.
But it takes longer than you think, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, so I knitted a patch yesterday just to like get going. I was like, oh, I'm just going to carry on and do a scarf. And then I was like, I should actually probably learn how to do all the other stitches because I've learned the knit stitch. I need to learn how to purl.
What's that mean?
It's like a different it's a different stitch.
Okay.
So I knit one, purl one, and then you get like a pattern.
A different pattern.
Yeah. It's like just, it looks different.
I'll tell you what, it's not for me.
I'm going to the knitting shop after this.
Which one?
Wow.
There's one in near Oxford Street.
Wow. What's it called?
I can't remember right now.
Wow.
But exciting, I'm excited time. About it.
She's yeah. in her knitting era, everyone.
Oh, my God. Everyone's getting socks, hats, scarves.
It's a very... I had an old colleague who was really into knitting. She used to always give me... Like, she knitted me a QPR scarf.
Cute.
She's always doing baby stuff. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah, so, I'm really excited about it.
She's in her knitting era. Kate, we want to talk to you about some iconic FA Cup moments. Okay. So I created a little game because it's obviously FA Cup semi-finals this weekend and we could just talk about the games, but that would be extremely boring. So instead, as we have the diarrhea icon herself...
Can I just state, it was not diarrhea. I did not have it running out my shorts. It was still fully inside my body.
Okay, sorry. I correct myself. Correction. Let the record show. She just needed a normal poo.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have Miss Poo herself.
Miss Poo.
FA Cup 2012 finalist and goal scorer, Kate yeah. Longhurst. Now, remind me, was the moment in the 2012 final? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And I could have told you that. And it was that story is burned into my brain.
And it was before you came on, just before you came on.
She had to run off just before the pitch. Full yeah. time.
I scored.
Just at full time.
And
extra
then
time.
It was just before half time of extra time.
Sorry.
So I ran off and then I came back on just as they were kicking off for the second half of extra time.
Yes, okay. I just wanted to make sure yeah. we knew the listeners knew / I was reminded of what really went down. So you scored.
I got nervous because we 2-1 up and I thought, I'm going to poo myself. Ran off, sat on the toilet. Oh, I've just scored. And then ran back on and Karen Carney scored
an equaliser.
Is it that Karen Carney goal, which is just awful goalkeeping?
The free kick that she took early.
That's it. It's not awful goalkeeping.
My mum still holds it against her whenever she's on the telly.
As Karen Carney should let it go.
I love that your mum can't let it go.
She will not forget.
Also, you know, that happened. People always try and do that little...
Yeah. Was it before the
dark arts?
Ref had blown, or were you just dawdling?
No, the ref hadn't blown, and we were setting up the wall, and
took it. Did it count?
I know, but it's a classic.
Don't start that. My mum will be.
Kate's mum, if you're listening.
Next time I see your mum, I'm going to get into it.
You'll never leave.
So, yes, that the scene of the crime, 2012, Women's FA Cup final, Birmingham, Chelsea. Unfortunately, Kate Longhurst, Chelsea side, did not win the penalty shootout. After Karen
Great
Carney's
goal
equaliser.
Though from you, isn't it?
It's a good one.
It's all right. One touch finish.
Yeah. One touch finish as per. But the quiz really is around a few other iconic Kate Longhurst FA Cup moments. So the first quiz question is actually about that final because the good people of Wikipedia have told
She's
me.
She's obviously going to get this annoying.
No. I don't think anyone's getting this. Oh. Okay. So that day, I've got two questions for you. So. That day, the FA Cup final was broadcast on Sky. I don't remember this. I always thought it was BBC for those games, but it was on Sky. And the broadcast coverage was criticised because of something that happened around the penalty shootout. Does anyone want to guess what that might be?
Around the penalty shootout? Like before the penalty shootout or during?
So before the penalty shootout started, something happened, according to Wikipedia, in the broadcast.
Who was, can I know who the pundits are?
No, nothing to do with pundits. Oh. Just the way that it was being broadcast. I'll give you a clue. The way it was being broadcast changed and people didn't like it.
Did something else come on the telly and it overran and then they cut it out or something like that?
You're nearly there. You're very warm.
They went to adverts.
They decided to put the penalty shootout on the red button. And people were not happy about it. I imagine there was another game about to kick off. So they swapped over the coverage and they said, if you want to carry on watching this.
We've watched a whole Women's FA Cup final.
You've got to switch to the red button.
That's
for the
mad,
interesting
isn't it?
Bit.
Yeah. Everybody loves penalties.
Exactly. It, yeah. And we've spoken about our 24-hour penalty shootout channel that Sky should be making happen. Perfect opportunity. If you want to watch penalty shootout, switch over to Sky 24-hour penalty shootout channel. And you can
that would be a good idea.
It's the dream.
Yeah. I saw someone tweet about it and I haven't stopped thinking about it. Okay, so that is one quiz question out the way. And another unfortunate, bad situation that happened there. The attendance was one of the lowest at the FA Cup Women's Final in its history and the lowest since 2005. So could you guess what it was?
What was it? To the nearest one.
I sort of know.
4,000.
I think it was like 8,000. Mm.
Kate's nearly got it, 8,753. Wow. So not like, you again, know, obviously.
You were there, so.
I didn't count everyone.
Pre-2000s, I'm sure that the attendance wasn't great. But yeah, worst attendance at the Women's FA Cup final since 2005 it was. So and look how far we've come.
8,000 ain't 8,000, bad.
It ain't bad. But some of those City Ground finales got some good numbers. I think Loftus Road had one as well. Anyway, this is the real quiz, okay?
Oh.
There was a halftime performance from, and I use this word loosely, a celebrity band, okay? And
I remember
this,
when I saw this band,
on Wikipedia, no, I was like, this is so counter-press coded, I cannot believe it, okay?
Okay,
2012. Long before we had Ella Henderson at the Women's FA Cup final and Becky Taylor-Gill and Becky Hill.
I am performing.
Actually, you're quite, yeah, you and Becky Hill, nearly same person. And Becky Hill at the Euros final, which, what an iconic performance that was, by the
loved
way.
Loved it.
There was a halftime performance from which boy band? And if anyone gets this.
JLS.
No.
I thought they were too big. Was it someone that was on X Factor but came like second or something?
I'm sure it was.
But I have never heard of this band.
Rexu.
Oh, but similar vibes, but older, because this was 2012.
Were they old? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I thought they were older, but I just couldn't think of any.
Honestly.
Would I know them?
Do they have a P in their name?
No. And if you get this, I would be like, wow.
Oh, I really want to.
Wow. Like, I never heard of these guys and I watched all these programs. Should I just tell you? Because I'm sure you're going to get it. Okay. So, a boy band called The Risk.
Oh my God.
And let me tell you where they came.
The Risk.
Producer Jonathan's just texted me because I was trying to find it, where they came. And season 8 of X Factor.
First week.
This boy band came 10th.
Out of how many? Big.
Well, I think there's about
12.
12. So they barely made like week 3 of the competition.
Who won that year?
Oh,
what year is it?
2012. Oh, okay. No, let's get to this.
This is a real quiz.
Okay, so 2020. I think One Direction were like 2010, 2011.
Oh, it's a good one.
Okay. Okay. Let me. Is it Little Mix?
Oh, I was going to say Little Mix.
It's Little Mix.
Yes. Oh, I should have said it first.
So if anyone does have any footage yet or remembers it, please tell us, because I honestly nearly fell off my chair when I read this morning. I thought this is perfect material.
It is really counter-press
coded. It's so counter-press coded, is it? Anyway, my next quick question is around your other FA Cup final appearance with West Ham in 2019. Because you beat Reading in the semi-finals in a penalty shootout. Obviously, we love that. But there were two players.
Did you take one?
There were two players who missed.
She's giving like a, we won the shootout face at me.
There are two players who missed in that penalty shootout.
Gilly Flaherty.
Gilly scored her. Gilly did her job.
She didn't even know that.
Sorry, Gilly. I just thought it was a good answer.
She didn't even know if she missed that we'd be out. So it's probably a good thing.
So tell me, who missed their penalties?
Well, I missed one.
And who's did the
you?
Other one?
You, so you took one?
I hit the crossbar.
And you missed it.
That's okay. When I put it down and I thought, go left, go left, go left. And I put it down and just said to myself, hit it as hard as you can.
If in doubt, I think that's not a bad technique. Who was the other person? Do you remember?
Alicia Lehman.
No.
Adrian Leon.
Did Dree miss on that one? Or did she score in that one?
She scored her. She did her job. She's great at penalties. Brie Vasali missed. Gilly did her job though. Come on,
she
Kate.
She did, and it bounced over the keeper's hand as well. It was like bobble.
Oh, so close. Anyway, that is our little Kate Longhurst FA Cup quiz involving some real
next
highlights.
Next time I need a Becky Taylor-Gill quiz, because how am I going to know those answers?
Yeah, but sorry, this is like your Christmas quiz. People Becky Taylor-Gill hates. People Becky Taylor-Gill loves.
Yeah,
I don't know this stuff.
Works all the time.
Well, then get to know me better. Take me to the pub, Kate.
I set you up for the knitting.
You did. Scenarios. You really did. So actually, yeah. You're forgiven.
Yeah, what would I do for a Becky Daniel FA Cup quiz? What game she's been to? Or
yeah. What I did on
who
the
did
day.
Who did she snog in Box Park after which final?
I have never snogged anyone in Box Park.
Not guilty,
that
Your
I
Honor.
Didn't already know. That I wasn't already dating.
Okay. Just because you didn't know them.
Very quickly, it is FA Cup semi-finals this weekend. United playing Chelsea.
What's that kickoff time? 2:35.
Oh, that's random.
Is it?
Yeah, I just looked
that's
it.
Bizarre.
I just looked it on BBC.
I know the Spurs game kicks off at 12. Yeah, Man United Chelsea, 2:35.
What's that
bizarre.
About?
Bizarre. That is bizarre.
What is that about?
Is that in case the other game goes to penalties and
maybe.
They're thinking
they've
that 5 minutes extra will
the
be.
Five
why
minutes
don't
will
you
save
them? Put it at 3.
Yeah, bizarre. Anyway, we will have a new finalist in the competition one way or another because Spurs or Leicester City, one of them's got to get through.
I'm still so mad.
Becky's still fuming. I think it probably looks like Spurs-Chelsea final at Wembley could be exciting.
I think Leicester could do
a
job.
You think Leicester could do a job? I mean, yes.
Leicester-Man United.
Yeah, see, the thing is, the problem with those semi-finals is that either way, the final's probably going to be boring.
Yeah.
Unless United do like magically beat Chelsea.
I don't think that's the case. I do think if Tottenham get through, I think they can make it a little bit interesting.
Even against Chelsea?
Yeah.
It depends what
I think Tottenham United would be the closest final of those.
Yeah, I agree. And I think United just, you know, think about FA Cup final last season. Think about how they've played in all their big games this season. They come out of the blocks hot. And then can't really control the game and capitalise.
Also, I'd give United a good chance against Chelsea because Emma Hayes is going out on a madness. Like,
who knows?
She is like thrown out her own rule book. She is going crazy. And I love it. It's great entertainment. So
true.
United could capitalise on her descent into madness.
Yeah. It's a good point. It's a good point. And I think
that's the analysis I'm here for.
We'll have to wait and see. And I did see some important recognition about the fact from Amy Drickier that Leicester City men have not posted once about their women's team being an FA Cup semi-final. And given the absolute celebration tour, rightly so, of Leicester City men claiming their first FA Cup title a few years ago, come on.
And they should as a distraction of how crap they've been lately when they had a 17-point lead or whatever it was.
They're bottling the championship
Pick
title
up your
race.
Women's team.
So just come on.
It doesn't take a lot.
Honestly, do a couple of tweets. Yeah. It ain't that hard.
It doesn't
and
take
it's
a lot.
So,
I do
it's
tweets all the time. It's really easy.
I mean, Becky's can't stop. Maybe you should get a job as the Leicester City social media admin.
Yeah, maybe. And then I'll take them down with me.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll tweet Alyssa Naya.
Please, guys, it's not that hard. And that is a really good chance for Leicester. Like, you were obviously bemoaning Liverpool's missed opportunity. That's a huge chance for Leicester City to get into a FA Cup final at Wembley and recreate some of the magic of the men's team a few years ago. Just like, come on. Anyway.
And for their fans to go to another Premier League ground. They haven't been to one this year, have they? Unless the men have been in the FA Cup against someone. So their fans
They beat Chelsea at Stamford Bridge in the FA Cup. But is that Tottenham game at Spurs Stadium?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, did not know
that.
So
they can take some fans, you know.
Yeah, like, good turnout.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's for Leicester City social media admin.
Yeah, and deserved.
That's how I feel about it.
So that's probably it for now. If there's any more important WSL or Women's Football Heritage X Factor crossovers, please get in touch.
I honestly think you might have struck gold and that's the best one that there is.
So good. Kate, good luck against Watford.
Thank you.
It's, you know, you need
we
to
We won't
prove
be
yourself.
There, so
we
there's
won't
no
be
pressure
there.
This
Hopefully
time.
Hopefully,
true.
Won't so, curse you.
Yeah.
And anyone going to those FA Cup semi-finals, enjoy. Or if you're going to Arsenal's rearranged game against Bristol City or any other rearranged matches or fixtures, enjoy. We will be back on Monday. We'll see you then.